Sajid, what is Azure Kubernetes and how is it different from Kubernetes?
Okay, hey viewers, hope you are doing well and safe. First of all, congrats and thanks Prabhat for this initiative. It's amazing to see the content that you are generating with the help of MVPs and experts on each of these areas, right? Coming back to your questions, Azure Kubernetes Service is one of the Azure's managed container service. So it manages your hosted Kubernetes environment, making it simple to deploy and manage containerized application without container orchestration skills that is needed for your team or the management part that needs to be done by the team. So Azure Kubernetes Service does automated upgrades, patches, and provides high availability for the applications. So it gives flexibility to easily secure scaling of your application. So it can be done through different ways. Say if you're familiar with Azure Portal, you can do through the Azure Portal. Say if you're familiar with PowerShell or Azure CLI command, you can execute those commands to make these features available. For those who are new to Azure or Azure Kubernetes or even Kubernetes, let me put this way. Consider Sri Lanka and India playing a World Cup final and all of a sudden Kumar Sangakkara got injured. What happens next? So there will be another player sent from the management team to replace the injured one. So that means all the 11 players are playing, all the 11 players who are playing should be very fit enough, right? So the 11 players can be considered as containers and their strength is the container health. And the coach who is orchestrating from the back end and also the physios and also the team management. So those people can be put together as the Kubernetes who is really orchestrating this process. On how deployment on Kubernetes works, I will come to that point, especially how you can use the deployments to do and avoid downtime with zero downtime upgrades. So, well, let's suppose if you have a simple application, I will show with the simple diagram. Well, let's suppose you have a simple application. It got three replicas, say P1, P2, P3. They are controlled by the deployment, entire deployment. And this is one pod, and this is another pod, and this is another pod. So you have got a deployment here, and load balancer is provided by a service. The load balancer is bringing those traffic to each of those pods. In the deployment, you are going to use the image V1, which could be residing on any container registry. You can take Docker or even Azure container registry. Say you are using version V1 of your container image to run this application. So you have got V1 here, and then here also V1, and in the third part also V1. Now, when you want to change the deployment, when some developer is pushing a new code change, assume I'm the developer and I'm going to push my changes as a new image, new version V2. So you might come and say, you know what, I want to change this to V2, this environment to V2. So what happens here is that you don't want to suddenly change from V1 to V2, and it might take some time. So we need to go and do a gradual deployment in order to not to affect any of those users. To achieve this, Kubernetes have a couple of concepts that are associated with the pod. The first concept is something called as liveness check, and the second is called the readiness check. Together, these things define what it means to be a healthy pod that we already explained in that cricket scenario. Liveliness defines whether or not pod should be automatically restarted. Say your application is deadlock, then you need to restart those pods. And readiness determines whether or not your application is ready to serve. So it's a basic setting. What the deployment now will do is it will actually create a fourth replica that you can see P4 to your application. And this one is V2. It's going to take that new image and going to have that. So container is up and serving now. Now I am going to actually delete the fourth replica that is created and going to this fourth one is going to serve the actual coming request. So you might get another question saying that what will happen to the existing users who are accessing this particular P1. So in that case, there is something called the termination period that comes for 30 seconds. So whatever the requests that are coming to the particular pod before changing to P4, it's going to serve those requests. So after the 30 seconds, whatever the new request comes to, it will go to the P4. So that's how when one pod goes down, other will take up the control and do this whatever the process that needs to be taking place. So this process is entirely orchestrated by Kubernetes. On the second point you asked, how is it different from Kubernetes? So when Kubernetes was introduced 8 years ago, as I remember, it was a non-managed service, right? So users would submit the Kubernetes workload to the Kubernetes API, but the master infrastructure, the API server, schedulers, controllers, those needs to be handled by the customers themselves. So this is how Kubernetes worked on most of the customer on-prem deployments, and this is how it has been working in so many deployments as of now. So if you see that, it involves a lot of work, right? So to maintain the master infrastructure, you need to have a large team to make sure that things are not going wrong. And Kubernetes on Azure is taking all of these hard parts and turn them into a managed service. That is called the Azure Kubernetes Service. So it is extremely incredible and attractive to customers. Kubernetes on Azure have grown over times, and customers have grown over 6 times in the last 12 months.
Why it is important for ISV, so independent software vendors?
Okay, that's a very good question. If you ask, like, as I mentioned, it's very important for customers, even developers, or even if you take ISVs. So it really matters for ISVs when it comes to fast application development, right? Developers spend most of the time on bug fixing. Azure Kubernetes Services reduce the debugging time while handling the patching, auto upgrades, and self-healing, and simplifies the container orchestration. It definitely saves a lot of time for developers so that they can focus on developing particular features while remaining more productive. So that is one advantage. And the second thing, in case of corporates and those who are dealing with enterprise application, Azure Kubernetes Service integrates with Azure Active Directory, and it offers on-demand access to the users to greatly reduce their threats and risk, right? So AKS come up with the standard regulatory requirements, and there are a lot of policies around the system, such as HIPAA, ISO, PCI, DSS, and so on. And the third point is that quicker deployment integration. If you take Azure has so many services around it, right? It supports provisioning additional computer resources if you take database or store any networking configuration. So those can be quickly done with the other Azure services provided around it. So if you take Azure DevOps, it provides a quicker way to build your application within QuickTime. And if you take Azure DevSpaces, you can debug your Kubernetes environment without actually creating Docker environment or Kubernetes environment in your local machine. So these are the ways that help the developers as well as ISVs to quickly build something to the market and take it to the market out soon.
What are the scenarios you would consider of using Azure Kubernetes Service?
Okay, to address that point, let me share a slide so that you will get a better understanding, right? So there are a lot of scenarios you could use Azure Kubernetes Service as your deployment method. In general, we have seen the first one is around lifting and shifting the workloads to containers. And this is really helping the customers to save a lot of cost around maintaining your infrastructure, which we have discussed earlier. So it avoids the manual deployment. It avoids the configuration, network configuration. It avoids the people to do, orchestrating all these manual process. And the next is around microservices. So when, as I mentioned earlier, when developers want to have the control on what they want to build, you are taking a monolithic application and you are trying to spread into layers, which does each of those services does individual things, right? Into number of servers in order to adapt scales and also to provide fast how distributed teams can work together in order to deploy features quickly. So in terms of microservices, you can definitely consider Kubernetes to orchestrate your environment. And the third things on the side of machine learning. So what we are seeing is that Azure Kubernetes Service is ideal for data scientists who are building solutions for complex scenarios. So if you're building a model to cater one particular scenario, you can probably take that model into particular different customers, and then you can orchestrate through Azure Kubernetes Service. Lastly, on the IoT piece, there are a lot of customers building on IoT on AKS integrations with IoT Hub as well as edge controllers, which actually uses the virtual kubelets to spin up nodes inside the IoT Hub, and integrations with some of the Azure services such as database services, if you take NoSQL, such as Cosmos DB. So all these scenarios can be considered in order to have Kubernetes as one of your practice in your when you are building applications.
Sajid, what do you think about Microsoft and open source with Azure Kubernetes Service?
I think this question is very useful in terms of open source developers, those who are passionate on building open source application, right? If you really see in the latest days or in the past 6 years, how Microsoft has changed the world of open source is that if you see in terms of Azure, Linux VMs are growing at a rate of 2 times of Windows, right? That actually shows the growth of open source on Azure. Another great aspect is that acquisition of GitHub, which has over 40 million developers, which shows the real commitment of developers who are the power breakers in the industry. So which is a great platform for Microsoft contribution in terms of open source, which has been tremendous in the last few years. And when it comes to Kubernetes, there have been a lot of work in the developer tooling source, such as if you take Draft or if you take Brigade and the integration with VS Code in order to automate the deployment as well as in order to debug has been amazing. So if you have seen recently, we announced open source, OpenShift on Azure joining cloud with Red Hat and Azure, right? So that shows the power of open source things that you can build on Azure. And tools like Dapper, which was announced during the last MS build, which enables all the developers using any language and any framework to easily build applications that would cater large number of customers if you take microservice applications. So when it comes to open source, it has been really handy in the past 6 years, and there will be a lot of work done in the open source world if you take in the coming years.
How easy it is to deploy an application on Azure Kubernetes Service to production?
Okay, that's a very valid question, right? So there are days I used to fix a bug, and deployment actually takes 2 to 3, 4 days. If you remember, if I have to tell the actual story, when I was a developer, I used to develop an application that I have deployed 47 times to the production environment, and it didn't work. So when it comes to Kubernetes, the actual deployment for containerized development with traditional model, you can basically do everything within few minutes. So there are tools available to automate your deployment, such as Helm chart, and then you can build a Docker file to have your containerized images that can be automated through the CI/CD pipelines. Let me share the screen and show how easy it is to configure a Kubernetes environment in terms of Azure. So what I'm going to do is there is something called Azure DevOps Project, if you have heard of. If you are a beginner with the Azure Kubernetes Service, Azure DevOps Project is the best place to get started. So I'm going to create Azure DevOps Project. I'm going to add a new project. So the DevOps project simplifies the entire continuous integration and continuous delivery pipeline to Azure with Azure DevOps. So cool thing is that you can start with your existing code, or you can pick any of those languages which are available out there in order to build your application. So it enables you to quickly deploy the application to various Azure services, starting with virtual machines, app service, Azure Kubernetes Service, or if you take any storage, SQL database, and so on. So in this case, I'm going to build a Go application in order to show how you can deploy a application with Golang with Kubernetes on Azure. So I'm going to pick this simple Golang app and going to choose the deployment method as the Kubernetes service environment. So you can go for containers as well as web app. In this case, I'm going to create the Kubernetes cluster. So let me name it as AKS demo, and then you can pass the DevOps organization that you are a part of, and you need to select the subscription and things like that. And if you feel that your application is very large, then you need to change the underlying VMs. In this case, I'm going to go ahead with the existing VMs. And if there are additional settings that you need to provide, starting with resource group and the location of your Kubernetes cluster. There are latest versions available, but it is always recommended to go with the recommended version that is chosen as the default option here. And if you want to enable HTTP routing in order to enable the ingress controller with your Kubernetes cluster, you can go ahead and choose yes. I'm not going to do that now. But another important thing is that your Azure Container Registry, which holds your images, needs to be very, names should be very unique. Make sure that you are giving a unique name. So let me start with that. I'll provide a unique name, and then you need to provide the register, container registry SKU, and then the location. Once you're done with everything, just click OK and you're going to say done. So it is going to create the resources at the background as well as the necessary CI/CD pipelines for your Kubernetes deployment on Azure DevOps project. I'm not going to spend much time on creating the resources, but if you come back and see how it would look like, is that it is going to create all those resources that is needed to deploy your particular Go application. In order to showcase what are the resources, I would go ahead and choose Azure Kubernetes cluster. So here you can do a lot of things, which I mentioned earlier, starting with you can spin up a Kubernetes dashboard which shows the health of your pods, services, and things like that. And if you want to watch the node pools, you can do that. If you want to upgrade your version, you can do that. Downgrade is not available right now, but it will be available in the future. And DevSpace is another cool feature. As I mentioned earlier, if you want to debug your Kubernetes environment in local, you can enable DevSpace with this single toggle button. And Application Insights is the one which is showing the insights or the metrics about your nodes, clusters, controllers, and things like that. So all these views about the Kubernetes clusters can be handled in single place using Azure Portal. And when you come to your Azure DevOps project, you will be able to see the pipeline, which is automatically created for your environment with the CI/CD pipeline, and you can have the access to your source control and the work items that you're working on. And the pipeline is very important because it is going to create the CI/CD pipeline automatically for you in order to deploy your Go application to the Kubernetes cluster, as you can see. So that's how simple it is to deploy your application to Kubernetes cluster. Let me show, once you build the application, it's going to give a URL which you can access publicly. So your Golang application is hosted within few minutes, right? So actually the Kubernetes cluster will take 5 minutes to 7 minutes to get created, and the CI/CD pipelines will take probably 2 minutes. So within 7 minutes, you can deploy your application to Azure Kubernetes service.
Saji, earlier you were mentioning about dev spaces, how it really helps developers.
Okay, thanks, Prabhat. Let me share this screen to show the capability of Azure Dev Spaces in terms of developers, right? So as you can see, this application was deployed on Kubernetes cluster using CI/CD pipelines. This application has multiple microservices, starting with data deals with patients and then clinics and things like that. So I have already deployed this application on Kubernetes cluster. So when I logged in as a user, this is how it would look like. So if I go to this patients, I can see the list of patients, but it's not ordered in particular ascending order, right? But if I go to doctors, I'm able to see the names ordered in ascending order. So this could be one of the potential bugs that you need to debug and deploy to production immediately. So this is the case, the power of Azure Dev Spaces comes into place. As I shown earlier, you need to enable the Dev Spaces by going here and then enable Dev Spaces. Once you enable, you will be able to configure that in your Visual Studio or even Visual Studio Code. So you will have an option to debug your application using Azure Dev Spaces. Since I have already configured, but in your case, you need to pass a subscription, and then you need to pass the credential in order to log into Azure Dev Spaces. And you need to create a new Azure Dev Space in order to deploy this particular application as a containerized application. So the flexibility or the benefits come when you don't have to create the particular cluster in your local machine, and also you don't have to containerize your application using Dockers, and you don't have to run Docker in your local environment. So once this is the environment which is automatically created by Azure Dev Spaces. So I am going to debug using this particular environment. I'm going to log in with the same user I logged in, and I'm going to debug in real time with the cluster that I have created. So as a developer, I would know where the error is occurring from. So it is the patient's controller. So I'm going to come here and add a breakpoint. And it's the data is fetched from patient's repository. And you can see the breakpoint is getting hit when I navigate to particular patients. As you can see, you can debug in real time and go to that particular code and As I see, there is an issue that I am having, right? So I have missed to add the order by command. So you can just add this command to order by name and things like that. So p.name should be. Yeah, once you fix this one, you should be able to see your application working correctly in the ascending order. As I shown in the demo earlier, so when it comes to Kubernetes end-to-end experience with Azure Kubernetes Services, that it provides a way to automatically deploy your source code, manage your source code using Azure DevOps, and also it automatically makes the deployment process easier to Azure Kubernetes Service, as you can see with the CI/CD pipeline. So if you're a developer and wondering how the end-to-end experience would look like, this is how it starts, right? So you will have the basic source code that is developed using Visual Studio or VS Code, and that is pushed to any of the source code source control that you have. It could be Azure repos, or it could be GitHub or Bitbucket, etc. So once you have that source code in your source control, you will have the CI/CD pipeline enabled with Azure DevOps project, and you can spin up the Azure Kubernetes cluster and push your images to Azure Container Registry, and you can make the connectivity to your databases or backend using the networking option provided with Ingress Controller, and you will have the Azure Monitor application insights to monitor how your application is performing and things like that. And also you will have dev spaces, as I shown now, in order to debug and provide the features quickly as soon as possible to your customers. All right, if I go back and see the application is deployed, if I log in again and see whether the users are loading in the ascending order, I can see right now. As you can see, it's ordered in the ascending order. So that's how easy it is to debug any of the issues that you're getting in production without creating the Kubernetes cluster in your local machine.
How to get started on AKS?
Actually, Prabha, that's a very important question in terms of developers who want to get started with Azure Kubernetes Service, right? So in my case, I started before 2.5 years with Kubernetes. That time it looked like a Greek to me. But continuous experiments make you to learn new things, right? So it's always about practice, and build application. Even if you are not working on AKS or containerization, how you can start is that take an application that you are building in day-to-day life and try to migrate those workloads to Azure Kubernetes Service. There are a lot of resources available out there by our experts. So if you are a beginner, I will share a few URLs right now so you can get started. One is the aka.ms learn AKS, which provides the content to get started on Azure Kubernetes Service. So it provides the sandbox environment to create your labs and execute things. And second is the best practices. If you are building a mission critical applications with large enterprises, you can always go and follow these practices. And we have a experts sessions and content from this particular URL. You can have a look at case studies, how other customers have built applications starting with microservices, starting with Azure ML, and starting with IoT. So you can explore those case study in our case study, which is available out there. And there is a particular repository available in the GitHub, which you can take as a reference in order to build your microservice application and build that application on top of AKS. And finally, you can try this Azure Kubernetes as free if you are a Azure user on the portal. So those are the ways that you can explore things on Azure Kubernetes Service. I hope this will help students and the developers out there to get started with Kubernetes. And Prabha, thanks for the opportunity to share my experience and how you can get started with Kubernetes.